The following program is intended for mature audiences only. It contains realism, truth, and opinion. You must be over 18 years of age to listen to this broadcast. Consider yourself notified.
I'm so glad we had this time together. It's great that you found the time to come. Time is not on our side. Tonight we'll tell you all about time. It's the Fabulous D Show, and it starts right now.
I never saw a place like this in my life.
And that's why I always say internet's first superstar, because who the hell is left? I might not have been the first, but there's nobody from back then who's still, you know, sitting in front of their computer so fervently, because I still am.
I'm just looking up a lot of synonyms for fabulous.
It's fun she did. Once you start, you can't stop. You know, it's like fear.
That's why this program is for anyone with a brain in their hands.
But somebody found a potato that looked like Elvis, and then like a week later somebody found, I don't know, a breadstick that looked like Jesus. What's wrong with people?
And most serial killers run around, you know, oh, they thought they were God, they thought they were Jesus, so, you know, they go out and kill 10 or 20 or 50 people.
It's lonely being this fucking smart man.
Of all that does not contain or pertain to you, yourself, your life, distractions, also known as landmines.
Oh, that sounds fun!
I want all of you to get up out of your chairs.
You mean really? Really? Can I really post consults in chat?
To scare the shit out of a Catholic, all they have to do is, you know, create some kind of, you know, revelation. You know.
Always from the right state of mind.
Can I say that on here?
Is this really necessary?
What people don't understand, let's do that.
Good evening, London. Good afternoon, Mexico City. Hello, Toronto. Yo to the special friends in Hong Kong. And good day, Australia. We do apologize for this interruption, but it's most important. It's the Fabulous D Show, Unearthing the Underground, the show for anyone with a brain in their head. I am the artist D, and that over there in her corner is Manila Child.
Hello.
How about time? We wait for no one, and no one waits for us. Actually, no, that's the other way around. we wait for no one, and everyone waits for us.
That's right.
How are you?
And are we really interrupting them if they're waiting for us?
Yeah. No, we're really not interrupting. They've come to be interrupted. Wouldn't you?
Don't apologize for interrupting.
Apology withdrawn. We are in your faces.
Even if you are interrupting, never apologize.
True. That's what I've heard. Never apologize.
Never. It shows weakness.
It does, and we're certainly not weak on the Fabulous D Show. Ever.
Hell no.
So how have you been?
Good. It's been a long week. I don't know why it's been so long.
But... it seems the time just, you know, really drew out there.
Yeah, it really has.
But oddly, not in a good way. Then.
I don't know if it was good or bad. I think it was the lack of sleep. It all kind of melted together.
Ah, well, that happens when you don't sleep. There's more time.
Right. There's a lot more time, and you know, you start to forget what day it is, what time of day it is.
True. I thought it was Friday. This morning.
It's funny because I thought it was Saturday.
And then I was like,
no, wait a minute.
Preparing this, and I got the late notice from one of my my magazine submissions of are you writing a column? Please tell me you're uploading that column now. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
Oops.
Yes.
And so I take it for you, time has been flying.
Time has been flying, which is why tonight's show is all about time, because it flies and it's a pet peeve of mine. I hate how much I can't do thanks to time.
I know that feeling.
Exactly.
All too well.
But I had a lovely morning at the gun range.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
I know. I have my guns, graffiti, and gender as always. But this morning I had my guns. And it was nice. We got to shoot a new addition to the family.
Awesome.
I know. And he shoots so well. So it excites me. I like it. Anyone who ever says, you know, guns are scary without having been around them or shot by one, I'm not so sure what they're on about. Because really, you see those people on TV, they're like, that was awesome. And you think, well, what's so awesome about it? But no, really, it's awesome.
Well, it is pretty awesome. I've watched Top Shot.
Oh, yes. We went through the entire series of that.
Yes. The hubby was really into that, too. Yeah. So he watched a lot of that. And it's pretty amazing what they can do. And the stuff that, you know, their marksmanship. But I've never been really afraid of guns so much as the people holding them.
Well, yeah. Who was I just... I don't know who I was just talking about that was going on about, you know, the whole guns don't kill people, people kill people, and they kind of rolled their eyes at that, but it's like, well, no, really. I mean, the gun didn't get up and do it.
Well, exactly. It's true. The gun is an inanimate object. It's, yes. You know, not able to move on its own. It needs a user.
Yes. All and of this the morning, user. I learned that it could just, you know, not only if the person's being safe about it, but yourself, you could, you know, there's always that accidental possibility of something going wrong. And I learned today that I could have had a like delayed fire and it could have blown up in my face. Should have been really
Ooh, that
bad.
Would suck.
I know, and they don't tell you these things until you do something wrong. And that's not
need to
really
be careful.
Yeah, that's really not the area that I would like to hear. Oh, by and that's exactly how it was. They're like, "Oh yeah, don't do that." Oh, thanks. Thanks for telling me now. I could have blown my head off. Jesus.
Oh, that would have sucked.
I know. Because it didn't fire. So then I pulled it back, you know, to eject. And they're like, "Oh, you should always wait a little while." Nobody told me to wait a little while. Good God. Who knew? And I'm like, what? Because it could have just been waiting to fire. And then you opened it up and bang. Oh, great. Just great.
Ouch.
But I still, you know, I enjoy them. I think they're enjoyable. We'll have to have a show about them sometime to get some opinions on this. Because I'm sure that we have many, many differing opinions.
Well, I think right now is a good time to have them.
True. With the zombies and
on
all.
Hand. Well, yeah, I mean, if the zombies come, you're going to need them.
It's true. I'm sure there's plenty of differing opinions. And in wildbunchchat.com, you can always voice your opinion during our show, if you have one. If you'd like to.
I would hope most of our listeners have some sort of opinion.
If you've got a brain in your head, then you've got an opinion in your mouth.
That's right. And we want to hear it.
Yes, and I see lurks in there, and I was going to mention that I believe all of our prize winners from last season's quiz show, season 4, should have all received their packages by now.
Nice.
Yes, and apparently Lurk has been in the hospital, and if my book would have come one day sooner, she would have been able to read that in the hospital rather than ancient, elderly, out-of-date magazines and leaflets about diabetes.
Aww.
I know. And she would have gotten better, whatever was wrong with her. I don't even know what was wrong with her, but I know for a fact she would have felt better by reading In Bed With Myself by The Artist D. Available at theartistd.com.
She would have.
I need a little sound
effect. It always made me feel better.
It still makes me feel better.
I always would read it in a hot tub.
True, that's right. I was always in the tub.
Yeah. Nice warm bath.
Absolutely. So I actually hadn't heard from any of the UK persons. Well, actually, Lurk is one of those. So, yes, I guess everyone has checked in around the world telling me they got it. Although a few people haven't told me yet. Like Nick. But I don't see Nick today.
I know. What happened to Nick? Well, last week he disappeared.
Speak of, there he is.
Speak of the devil. Yeah. Holy cow. Holy that's cow. Awesome.
We'll have to make sure he got his too. Because he's like right next to Lurk a lot. So everyone should be happy. That was a lot. Sweet. You know how much it takes to send mail out of this freaking country?
Yeah, I do.
My God. No wonder it took me so long to send those. I mean, from last season. God. It's like I took in my entire piggy bank and said, here, take it. Take the piggy.
Yes, I know. I used to send things to Nick. And it can get quite costly.
It is. And then it's like, you know, one thing after another. You know, you go out of your way, you get the envelope, you have to do that long address that, of course, Americans cannot understand international right? addresses at all. They're like, what is this? Is this another line? Is this a zip code? What are these letters? What's going on here? And then you got to do the customs form. And I hate the customs form.
I know.
But I'm learning.
You will get it.
I will. And now I have them on hand, so we're set. We'll be shipping internationally all the time, whenever the piggy bank gets refilled. Oh, she had, Lurk had a gastroscopy with general anesthetic.
Oh, I hope she's feeling better.
I hope so, too. And surely she went home and read the book, so clearly she's feeling better.
Definitely.
So that's what I did this week. It was good. It was good.
At least you accomplished that.
Something. So we've
I'm
got.
I'm sure they're all excited.
Oh, they're all excited, I'm sure. And they're all, now I'm getting all the private messages and all the happiness and all the dogs are barking and everything is good with the world. Your teacup is chirping.
My teacup, yes, she's squeaking. Oh, she's funny.
Indeed.
She's been doing that a lot lately. It was got to the point last night where I was asked if we have ghosts. No.
They thought the teacup was a ghost?
No, if we have ghosts, because she keeps
barking she's incessantly barking at nothing. At random things. I see.
Yeah, I don't know what her deal is.
Interesting.
Like, she'll look into thin air and bark, and there's nobody there.
I don't know how many times I've barked into thin air before. Quite a few. So we've got some news.
News. Any good news?
We start with the good and end with the bad. Although some people are not saying this is good. There's a new line of sunglasses out, fashioned after or called Helen Keller sunglasses. For those who don't know, Helen Keller was blind. A Chinese fashion firm has named a line of its sunglasses Helen Keller. That's the name. That's it. Helen Keller. This is no marketing mistake or lost in translation. A spokesman for the company told the Wall Street Journal they were well aware Keller was blind, but saw merchandising value in her philanthropist spirit. It appears Helen Keller is a famous figure Chinese children learn about in school. Interesting how Chinese children learn about her, but American children do not. Maybe the fashion...
I think I learned about her.
I think I did a little. Her? Maybe a little. But not much. I had to actually look her up while I was reading about this because I wasn't sure. Because I always get her mixed up with Anne Frank, which is hilarious. Because Helen Keller lived well into, you know, old age. Anne Frank, not so much.
Right.
A fashion company's team didn't pay attention when the course was taught, but no, not really. On the company's Helen Keller website, someone seems to have picked up a reference about Helen Keller from Wikipedia. Helen Keller, she was the first deaf-blind person to earn a Bachelor of Arts degree. The company even produced an ad for the HK sunglasses, including paparazzi and a model donning the specs. When she puts on the glasses, the paparazzi go wild, and the promo phrase says, "You see the world sees you." Fitting.
Wow.
And then, just in case you're wondering, there is no record of Helen Keller ever having worn sunglasses. So, these are not really fashioned after anything Helen may have worn.
They're pretty stylish, though.
They are. They are. They're
I'd very, rock them.
Very, mod 70s.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, I think.
Yes, the president of the American Foundation for the Blind, an advocacy group that Keller worked for up until her death in 68, said, "There is no evidence she wore sunglasses in our archives of 1,500 photographs and 80,000 documents." Which is interesting. I mean, most blind people seem to wear sunglasses. And she didn't. So, I mean, they could have picked someone else. I mean, I guess at least they're... I'm glad they're not the Anne Frank sunglasses.
True. Yeah.
As for the use of Keller's name to hawk the product, they said... The association said, "We're never happy unless Helen Keller is portrayed in a way we feel she should be portrayed, as an inspiration and someone who shows the world that people with disabilities are just like everyone else." That said, he admitted Keller had quite a sense of humor and probably would have laughed hysterically when she heard about the strange homage to her legacy.
I find the humor in it. Apparently, I'm one of the few. No, I took the vote. I had to. I had to see the results.
So others do not think so.
70.7% think that it's in bad taste. I think they should create a whole line of sunglasses based on blind people, like Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder.
Now there's an idea.
Why not?
Absolutely. I think so too. I totally.
As long as they're rockable, they're all right.
Exactly. I mean, personally, I think it's a great idea. So I would have voted also with you, and apparently we are in the minority.
Yeah. With the 29.3% of people who don't find that in poor taste.
Well, those are the people with the brain in their head.
That's right.
Next up is a teacher fired over porn acting has a case for reinstatement. An Oxnard teacher, one of these many, many cases. How many teachers are porn stars? They seem to pop up a lot.
It does seem like they're popping up a lot lately.
An Oxnard teacher fired for being a pornographic video before she was hired is fighting back. Stacy Hallis, now 32, has taught science at Haydock Intermediate School since 2009, and prior to her employment, she appeared in adult movies. School board trustees decided on Wednesday to fire her. She has been on paid administrative leave since her porn acting surfaced last month. Hallis has 30 days to appeal the decision. Sean Loftus is a substitute teacher in Miami Beach who starred in gay porn and, like Hallis, he was fired based on the school's code of ethics. After months of public discussion, the school board has cleared him to pursue his teaching career again. Oakes said Loftus' case will likely be cited as Hallis works to defend her name and her teaching record. It can have a lot of heft if you have a very similar case in Florida where a teacher won, and there's no real California law on the issue, the lawyer said. And both of them are damn good looking. May I say?
Yeah, she's all right.
She's all right. But then I looked up Mr. Loftus, and he's quite the leather-clad, beefy something-something going on there.
Okay, I didn't see his pictures, but yeah, she's all right. I don't understand why it's a big deal. Yeah.
Me neither. Me neither. I don't get...
I mean, she's not doing porn while she's teaching, right?
Exactly.
So, what's the problem? I mean, is she, like, advertising it to her kids, emailing it to them? I would hope not and doubt it.
And interestingly, I mean, they kind of punish the teacher for what the children, what they're afraid the children will do. Because they're more afraid that they'll, like, bring in porn or something.
That's a shame.
It is. You'd think they'd have better common sense. But they don't. Of course. But he's very good. Go look up Sean Loftus when if anyone wants to. Actually, I think I looked up him, but then I had to find his porn name. I mean, this, you know, we do in-depth research here on the Fabulous D Show. So once I found the porn name, then it was like, you know, the archives. You get everything. I don't know, but it's like a tattoo almost, you know? You've done something once that people don't approve of, and it scars you for life. Scarlet letter of porn.
Wow, he is pretty hot. He's way hotter than she is.
Yeah, well.
I just...
It may be our preference.
There's a link in chat to him. I'm not so sure about the wet spot around him. That looks a little odd.
There's a wet spot?
On the picture, yeah, look at it. It's like he pissed himself in this picture, but okay. I'm sure it was all the sweat dripping from his hairy chest.
Probably. All right. Well, yes. Anyway, a bit distracted there, right?
Yeah, it is easy to get distracted by that. I can see why you're so smitten by it.
Yes. Next up, a car crashes into Connecticut liquor store and driver gets DUI charge. A woman charged with DUI after her car slammed through a Connecticut liquor store is blaming it all on NyQuil and Armorall. A car driven by Sharon Brooks, 63, of East Haven, crossed over the sidewalk and crashed through the front entrance of Yankee Discount Liquor at 2:30 Friday afternoon. The car continued halfway into the store, striking the counter, crushing displays of wine, and injuring an employee inside. Totally alcohol abuse.
Wow.
The worker was transported to Yale with the police, with what police called minor injuries. "I have a cold," she said. When asked if she had taken cold medicine, Brooks replied, "NyQuil and somebody cleaned the inside of my car and they put Armorall on my brake pad and my foot slipped off the brake pad. If I was on alcohol, I wouldn't be leaving now," she said, just before she got in a taxi outside the police station. I don't know, on alcohol? How are you on alcohol? Is that like being on acid or something?
Yes.
You're no longer drunk. You're on alcohol, man.
It's funny, the wording people use in some places.
And what did
it's
she
like
mean?
They have their own little language.
Exactly. What did she mean? She wouldn't be leaving now. I mean, she would have crashed her car into the store and stayed?
That's what I was thinking.
Up all of the spilt wine?
Oh, probably.
I just don't understand.
She'd be in there looking for a bottle.
I know. "Are you drunk, ma'am?" "Yes, yes. Oh, look at all the puddles. Yum, yum." But in better news, in happier news, a limbless? I guess it would be more like limbless, unless you're in some other countries. Limbless. That's like saying February.
Limbless.
Limbless Frenchman to swim around the world. A Frenchman announced plans this week to swim around the world despite having no arms or legs. Picture that. Philippe Croizon and his swimming partner, Arnaud Chassery, want to link the world's five continents by swimming across a series of narrow straits that separate them. Is it really swimming if you have no arms or legs? Croizon lost his limbs following an electrical accident. Now that must have been some accident. And said he wants to send a universal message with the feet. F-E-A-T.
It just reminds me so much of elementary school. You remember that joke?
Now what?
What do you call a guy with no arms and no legs when you throw him in a swimming pool?
Oh, God. Bob?
Bob.
I never heard that before. But, wow, that's terrible.
That's what it, I don't know. I was going to ask you if his name was Bob.
Thankfully, his name was Philippe. Unless he goes by Bob, you never know. But we're going to symbolically link the five continents. Two little people like us, two little men, we're going to be able to build a bridge between the continents. That means that we're going to bring them together, which means no one is very far from each other. So even if we have different political opinions or skin colors, or even with disabilities, we all live on the same planet, and that's the clear message we want to send, he said. Croizon has already swam the English Channel. He uses prosthetic limbs and fins attached to the stumps of his legs to make his way through the water. They should have really put that up front, because I felt that he was somehow otherwise swimming or floating, right. And that's not swimming. If he floats across the English Channel, that's floating across the English Channel.
Or bobbing.
Exactly. The pair plan to leave
that
France.
That would take a long time.
It would. They're leaving France on May 6th for the first leg of the journey. This is terrible. Linking Australia and Asia by swimming from New Guinea to Indonesia. Over the summer, they will then cross the Red Sea, Asia to Africa, the Strait of Gibraltar, Africa to Europe, and the Bering Strait, Asia to America. They plan to finish the middle of August after a brief trip to visit President Obama.
I'm sorry, this was hilarious.
I'm more impressed with him swimming such a length than I am about his mission for world peace.
Yeah, you know, that is quite a feat.
It's lovely, and you know, keep trying. But if it doesn't work, the peace thing just does not work. Just swim, just do it. I mean, that's great. Release your statement. We're all connected. We're all one. We're still going to be complete dicks to each other, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah. Sad but true. Oh,
sad indeed. What else do we have here? A group of junior high school students from Missouri have built a car that gets a whopping 353 miles per gallon.
Wow.
Yeah. Under the guidance of instructor Marcus Reynolds, the 7th and 8th grade students from Aurora Junior High used their creation to win this year's Missouri Super Mileage Challenge, beating out teams of older high school students. It's a single-seat car weighing about 100 pounds and is powered by 1.3 HP 35cc Robin Subaru motor that is typically used to motorize bicycles. It has three small bicycle wheels and starts with a pull cord. A steering column turns with the two front wheels. It's basically a boxcar, you know, a little derby-looking soapbox thing made out of cardboard. But, and it's not made out of cardboard, actually, but it looks like it. I just think, you know, ladies and gentlemen, pick up your little ears and think, huh, you know, if they can do that. I mean, it looks perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with this car. If they could do that, they can do anything.
Yeah.
$4 a gallon? Mm-hmm. $5 a gallon? Hello? Anybody out there? We can totally reduce. And, you know, whatever happened to the garbage-powered car? They're out there, but then they get bought up by these conspiracy theory people. And, or, you know, just ask a conspiracy theory person for who buys all those ideas up. Because we can't have cheap vehicles.
No, I know. I would love to have something that's not gas-powered, or at least has an alternative source of power. My brother wants one that's powered by water. Apparently that's also an option if you have the right tools.
That is very interesting. Absolutely.
Be nice if it could fill your tank with, you know, hook it up to the hose.
Exactly.
The garden hose.
I'd love it. And surely they can do it. I mean, anything can be transferred into something.
That's what I'm saying. And we've been making power with water forever.
Indeed. Indeed, we have.
So.
This next and last news article just drove me absolutely nuts because it's absolutely nuts. Study examines painkiller abusers' supply sources. This is kind of it's an offshoot of what traumatizes me here, so stick with me. First-time abusers of prescription painkillers such as OxyContin most often get the drugs for free from friends or family, while chronic abusers seek doctors or dealers to get their fix. More than two-thirds of people who said they had gotten high on painkillers for the first time previous year got the pills from family or friends. We need to recognize and be aware of what's in our medicine cabinets, said the National Drug Control Policy Director. The Drug Enforcement Administration will take back unused prescription drugs Saturday at collection sites around the country. This is, if you couldn't tell, what's really digging into my ass. In three previous take-back days, the DEA collected about 1 million pounds of prescription medications, including painkillers.
Wow.
Kids can retrieve the drugs that are tossed in the trash and blah, 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 and use them for their own sources and blah, blah, blah. Medicine cabinets. I don't know. You know, it's like parents, lock up your medicine cabinets. Anyway, but this collection site, tell me more about this collection site. It destroys them. They collect the millions of drugs and destroy them. Oh my God. There's a shortage of fill in the blank everything. I mean, this is like asking, you know, bring in your leftover food and we'll throw it away for you.
I've often wondered that, why it's so awful for, like, you know, if we, like, say we have a prescription and we don't use it all and we don't need it all. You can take it back to the doctors or whatever, but I guess they can't regulate, you know, if somebody tampered with it, which is understandable, but still, like, there's so many.
Exactly. Instead, they, you know,
like you said, things there's a shortage of, like Adderall. You know, there's an Adderall shortage in this country.
Right. Well, and after
can't get Adderall.
After we're all, you know, on about the mass of energy that it takes to produce things, and all that that's wasting. You know, making new of everything. You want to take 1 million pound of drugs? That's a lot when they're pills. Can you imagine how much that weighs?
I know, especially, oh my God.
And you just want to throw them out and just toss them. I just don't understand when we could
toss them where? Into our water supply so that they can drug us?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. So then they destroy
them. Into the chemtrails?
Exactly. When they destroy them, where do they put the destructed fragments and the melted down something something?
I don't know.
It's insane, and I think that's totally a waste of drugs. You know, after telling us to conserve things, I'm not saying, you know, hand them out to your friends and neighbors, which this article is saying, don't hand them out to your friends and neighbors. But for crying out loud, you'd think there would be a way to take them back. And some pills, they're saying in chat, do have expiration dates, yes, but...
Most pills that I've ever had have a 1 year expiration date.
Well, do they really expire?
No, they just, after a while, some things can expire, like penicillin and stuff like that. But they usually just lose potency, and it usually takes several years for that. I mean, you've got to wonder how long some of them are sitting on the shelf. I mean, if, you know, when you think about from production until delivery... Exactly. To you, how much time has gone by? At least a couple months, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, they don't have exactly 1 year. But every time I've gotten a prescription, it has always said discard after exactly one year.
Exactly.
From the date of fill.
I highly doubt that powdered pills, you know, the solid pills. I can see if it's maybe gel, maybe a penicillin-based thingy, fungus. I just said thingy.
Yeah.
I just fucking said thingy on my show. What the hell?
It's okay.
Oh my God. Hysterical.
It'll be okay.
But yeah, I'm sure that, you know, because you can keep Tylenol and shit around forever. So.
Yeah, pretty much.
Whatever. So we're talking about time tonight. Speaking of, it's time to talk about time after these breaks. Breaks from our sponsors. We'll be back after these messages. From some of these breaking individuals. After this. I'm the RST. That's the Vanilla Child. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to The Fabulous D Show on Rainbow Mix Radio. This episode of The Fabulous D Show is brought to you by our friends at...
What's that smell? It's Psycho Sugar, my designer fragrance created by Good Judy. They came to me and they wanted the exclusive on the one and only scent for the Artist D. And they did it. They have it. It's available now. Psycho Sugar at goodjudy.com. Banana brulee, pineapple, sweet lime, starfruit, purple fig, champagne, sugared amber, cashmere. Need I say more? Go load up right now at goodjudy.com. Good Judy? Oh my God. Scent your world.
Have you ever given any thought to the kingdom of heaven?
What?
Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
You ain't just whistling Dixie.
Armageddon is almost upon us.
I got news for you. It's already here.
Go away.
But your souls are in danger.
Our lives are in danger, you beatnik.
Call on your children and place them in the closet right now.
I want fabulous. She's famous. She's funny. She's the Artist D. Hi, I'm Samantha Renee from Sunrise and Sammy, heard every weekday morning from 8 a.m. until 12 noon Eastern Time, and you're listening to The Fabulous D Show on Rainbow Mix Radio, where all the good songs have gone.
You want danger, huh? I'll show you what danger is, baby.
This is Mac Danger and Cheddar from Soylent Radio, where you can catch us every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern for a four-hour mind-blowing audio thrill ride that'll rattle your head and rock your world right here on WildBunchRadio.com.
You have to fight for your right to
party all night.
We play a wide variety of music, comedy, and randomness from some of your favorite artists, as well as independent artists from across the globe you won't hear anywhere else. Plus, you never know who might drop in or what chaos might ensue, and usually does, right here in the studio.
Warning, Soylent Radio may cause mind-altering effects with repeated exposure and is not for the expletive-impaired.
So join us every Sunday for another absinthe-minded journey into new realms of reality that is Soylent Radio. And if you're not tuned in, you might as well be listening to
www.loserbill.com.
Radio. Is that a furry in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? Radio. Join Skylar Hall and Bolo Cute Fox for a rousing round of music that spans the genres. It's HotspotRadio.net. Radio. He'll take listener requests and dish it all live on SRN1. It's HotspotRadio.net, live every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. EST.
Radio.
Kęp alternatywny H na powietrzu. Do Wildbuch Radio.com do oddania krwi.
Get out your racing form, pour yourself some Yukon Jack, sit back and relax. The Frank is on. That's right, it's Cotolo Chronicles every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock p.m. on WBRN. That's WildBunchRadio.com. So tune in, chill out, and listen to all of Frank's millions and squillions and billions of guests, and even sometimes better, just himself on Wild Bunch Radio. Hey, you.
Our Artist D is fabulous. Now back to the Fabulous D Show on Wild Bunch Radio.
Ooh. It's the Fabulous D Show. I am the Artist D, and that over there is Vanilla Child. We're
yeah.
talking about time.
Time. There's never enough of it, is there?
There's never enough time, and it is such a pain in my ass. Or as Lurkalot just said in chat, she's off her tits on it.
I'm over it.
I need to use that word more often. Off over my tits over it, yeah. You're over it?
Time sucks. Yeah, it sucks.
It does suck.
Just, I don't know.
It's been a problem for me. It's always been a problem for me.
So yeah, much so, me too.
I don't even know how to spend my time. And everything turns into this gigantic question of is this something I should be spending time on? Or is it not? And I'm talking about everything. If I'm going to eat,
I know the feeling.
If I'm eating something, what should I eat? What's worthy of my time? If I'm going anywhere, is this worthy of my time? It ruins, and it ends up ruining a lot of my moments. Because I want to spend it as much as I can, obviously. You all know me. We've met before. Hi, I'm the artist D. And you should know, I'm very anal about how one spends time. So we're going to talk about how to waste our time, because most people, if you haven't noticed, waste time. And how they're fooled to waste their time.
It's fun to waste time.
Yeah, but then it's not fun to waste time.
It's not productive.
It's not productive. But the things that people say waste time, they think are fun. But I'm saying, like, everything, waste of time, mostly.
Oh, I know. So like waiting.
Like waiting or, you know, working or tapping your fingers. It's all a waste of time. Although we should disclaim it's not all a waste of time. Because I'm sure that many will say, you know, they spend their time well spent.
Well, if they listen to our show, that's not a waste of
time.
This
is not a waste of time. This is one of the few ways you can actually spend time doing something for your life, which is kind of the point. It's the parameters of we can't all just sit around eating bonbons. We have to do something, but the question is, what should we be doing? What are we forced to do that we should not be doing? And what is most completely unnecessary? Wasting time and why. And we have to start with the biggest waste of time. Work. Huge time waster. People spend most of their time working. That's if they have a
job. That's true.
You know. I mean, a lot of people don't have a job these days, of course. We're going to assume for this argument that lots of people have jobs, because there are, I mean, look at the streets, look at the shops. There's someone everywhere, running everything. They're everywhere.
That's true.
And there are, you know, traffic has not gone down. So there's lots of sheeple out there dragging themselves to work morning, noon, and night. While many can say that, you know, we need people working, there's a lot of stuff that people do that don't make any sense. I mean, we need people to drill oil and farm fields and pick potatoes, although we don't need people picking potatoes because we have a machine for that. It does a very good job, actually. But we need someone like, you know, do we need someone manning Starbucks? Do we need so many people manning Starbucks? Does there have to be a Starbucks on every corner? Which is interesting, you know. You could just have that one. I don't know, this is such a waste of resources to me. And, I mean, they kind of admitted this when they were cutting back and all, but you've got a Starbucks on every corner, and they're, you know, they purposely build them small, so you want to have, you know, more than one. They could just build one big coffee shop, and people would still line up to buy just as much coffee.
That's true. And they could send all the employees from the little shops to the big shop.
So talk about wasting. I mean, wasting pills, wasting space, wasting coffee, wasting management. You could easily combine into a larger cafe, and you'd be fine.
We're a very wasteful species.
We are, which is amazing, especially the Starbucks model. I mean, and any franchise model that's open, like, on every corner, it's, do we are you doing that because they need it? Or are you doing it because you're making money for it? And the answer is always money. So that's the other part. I wish people would think more. I mean, I wish we were allowed in this culture to think more about why we're doing it. Are you setting it up out of necessity, or is this just another franchise sale? Could I go another half mile and get the same damn thing? Ridiculous. Do we need a bank on every corner? No.
No.
Who needs a bank? People don't even need banks anymore.
I know.
Especially on every corner. I mean, everything can be done, almost everything can be done through the ATM, physically. Everything else can be done online. You rarely need to go in and talk to somebody unless something has been screwed up beyond.
And the banks don't even want you to come in. Like, they push that online thing. They would rather you go online. So really, what are they doing in the branches? Nothing.
Nothing.
They're wasting time.
But yet they're busy too. They're busy working. And then there's the paper pushers, and it's just so much bureaucracy. And these are the kind of time-wasting jobs I'm talking about. Is when there's better things we could be doing. Much better things. Like, you know, saving the planet in more logical ways. Even drilling, farming, mining, whatever. But the paper pushing crap is really a thorn in my side. So let's say.
That's why one of my dreams is to be, you know, self-sufficient someday.
It would be great. There's a lot of, that, lot of that.
You know, piece of that. People always said I would love to build a village.
Build a village.
And why not?
Might as well.
Yeah. Well, some people say that I would like to have slaves, and it's not like that. It's like I would be more like a co-op.
Well, I saw an article that I did not really get to catch, and actually I kind of saved it for a later show of someone who is self-sufficient for the last 20 years. They, you know, gave up money a long time ago, and they've been living off the land. And, like, the first thing that he said was that he doesn't recommend people do this. Of course not. Because if everyone did it, then he wouldn't have garbage cans to root through. Because everyone was... Because that's how he said he lived, by, you know, dumpster diving and donations. You know, apparently he must live in a city. And just live in a tent or something. But no, I would rather do it the, you know, farm boy way of my land, my stuff. And that would be lovely. And then I can have the village of the people who care.
Exactly. The more like-minded people.
Yes. So, people, they work. The average person works most of their life. After all, people are supposed to in this culture of ours. So let's say you work from the age of 18 to 70, which is really being not even generous, because people usually work from like 15 to 90.
Right. I know.
Yes.
It's insane.
If you can walk on your own, you work until you die. Dead. But for the sake of the perfect world, we'll just do 18 to 70. That actually makes, I've done some previous calculations for you, ladies and gentlemen, 52 years of working life. Coincidentally, there are 52 work weeks in a year. So that's about 260 working days.
Wow.
And that is 10,400 hours of work. 10,000. But now that might not be a lot to somebody who cannot wrap their brain around this. But wait till I tell you later about the freaking weekends. And we base this on the assumption that people work like 40 hours per week for 52 weeks a year. And let's just pretend there are no holidays, because a lot of people don't take holidays, at least in America. Although the people we've talked to elsewhere, you know, they do get holidays, and they take holidays, and they actually treat them like holidays. And since most people work more than 40 hours a week, it probably evens out to do this calculation without actual holidays. 52 weekends in a year, that's 104 days off. And if you have 12 waking hours in those days, you have 1,248 hours of weekend fun rest. So you have 1,284 hours to do what you'd like, and 10,400 hours to do what you don't want. 10,000 versus 1,000. How about them apples?
That's painful to even look at.
And why aren't people thinking about? Use the brains in your head and think. And that's always bothered me. Even before I was working, I realized that because it is on the small scale. And the amount, I mean, not even like looking at your lifespan. It's just, it's the day-to-day bullshit that they, and usually people work 9 hours per day. And they have lives and families and everything. And, you know, they work, they work from like 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. And the general work shift, but it fits all models. You know, no matter if you're a day worker or a night worker, you're still, your life is set up the same. Even if you're living your daytime at night, it's the same. But most
That's
people,
true.
They need like at least an hour to get ready for work. So they take up like a lot of time getting ready. Some, let's say you work at 8 a.m., you get up at 7 a.m. at least. But the entire time spent from the moment they wake up until they leave for work, they're usually getting ready. I mean, people need food. They got to take showers. They have to look presentable.
And how much time do we waste just getting ready for shit?
Exactly. And for shit we don't want to do. Which, if I was to interject my dreamy perfection of the moment, I have always said that employers should pay for workers as the time that they spend getting ready for work. And getting home from work. I mean, it just makes sense because the only reason I'm up at 6 a.m. is to get ready for work. It has nothing to do with my personal life. Otherwise, I would be sleeping.
True that.
And they don't pay me to prepare myself, which makes no sense because if I rolled out of bed and went right to work, they would complain that I'm functioning poorly because I haven't eaten yet. I look like shit because I came to work with bedhead, and I probably smell because I didn't take a shower. But yet, they insist that I do those things before work. For work. It's ludicrous.
It really is.
Really is. It just kills me. I love it. I love it. It's ridiculous.
It should work for Facebook.
I'm sure. I mean, and they're okay with coming with bedhead, too.
Well, they don't care how you come to work, and they'll do your laundry for you, and they'll feed you every day for free.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, it's the same thing when you get a job here, in at least in America, that you have to, you're hired for usually 8 hours per day, but then they expect you to take a half-hour lunch and 15-minute breaks unpaid. So you're really only working for 7 hours a day, and suddenly you've lost an entire hour, and your paycheck sucks.
Yep.
So at least the least they could do is pay you through lunch, if not feed you. They should certainly feed you as well, because you're freaking there.
Exactly. Well, and that's why they do it, because they don't want anyone to leave.
Right.
They want everybody there. Well, they want them to stay close.
I've never seen a workplace where they had people who leave and actually come back to be productive. This is where that whole, you know, really people only work 4 hours a day comes in, because you get there, you're all pumped up, you do your job, then you eat lunch, and then you have a food coma, and you're lazy, or you know, you left for an hour, so then you come back, you don't want to do shit the rest of the day. Most people only work 4 hours a day, especially in the paper-pushing bureaucracy of the world. We digress. So you work 9 hours, and you get out of work at about 5. And if you work in the city, you usually have to sit in traffic for like another hour to get home. Well, if you live in the country, it's the same thing because you got to drive home, and that usually takes a while, depending.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the Ohio-Georgia model was like, got to drive 45 minutes from home to the actual town where you work in. It's pretty much across the board. So why aren't you getting paid to go home from work? That's another hour out of your day. Then you get home, and it's probably like 6 p.m. either by the time you get home or that, you know, you got to unwind. And after all that, you unpack everything, you get undressed. Then what do you want to do after 9 hours worth of exhausting work? since let's face it, no matter what we do, we all seem to be just exhausted when you get home. Whether you're a coal miner or a paper pusher, we're all exhausted. Which is funny, because, you know, you'd think one wouldn't be exhausting. But then you want to go home and you have, you know, food, dinner. You got to make dinner. You got to prepare dinner. Unless you grab McDonald's, and that's a whole other show. Then you eat. And if you're that person, you got to, you know, you cook everything, then you got to clean everything up.
Yep.
And that takes how long? I don't know. It's 8 p.m. now. By the time you finished a minimal dinner or that whole thing, the process, then you're full from dinner. And you're exhausted from work. And you're going to do what? You're going to want to work on art projects and change the world? I don't think so. At all. You want a drink. You want a big old drink. Or you want dessert. And then you're screwed. Or you want mindless television. A time waster we'll talk about in a moment.
Some people just want sleep.
Or sleep, exactly. And ta-da, your entire week has been sucked up by the waste of time, meaningless work of today's culture. And you're not working to better the world. You're filing documents within a system that is meaningless. Or you're pushing some coffee, pushing too much coffee. You know, you're not on a space station helping to better the universe, exploring, keeping the deck swabbed, you know. Mopping the floor on the Starship Enterprise. Now there's a job. That's worth something. Piloting the Starship Enterprise, even a better job. But still, the guy who swabs the deck is important, as any pirate will tell you.
That's true.
Am I making sense?
No.
Not at all.
But it's all about the rat race and the money.
It's the biggest
for most people.
10,000 hours of wasted time versus.
I mean, we can't live without the money.
Well, exactly.
For the most part, unless you're that guy.
Which is that's the point. There we go. And if we had to work, we would. It's the Star Trek model. If you said, you know, your food, your clothing, your entertainment, all taken care of. There's no war. There's no hunger. Mostly, there's no futile problems. Everyone was expected to work together for the greater good and make our lives even better. You know, you're dedicated to exploration, investigation, whatever. People would have a lot better jobs. And, you know, they could still be digging in the dirt or mining Mars or something, but those would be better jobs than, like, some government stamp, rubber stamper. I don't freaking know. But, you know, what do most people do on their weekends? It's nothing, because then Saturday is spent recovering from the week you did not want.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday spent mourning your last day of freedom for another crap filled week. But if they said, you know, money was no object, if you had everything you wanted, I hesitantly say that more people would be happy working. I don't know. Because people are lazy. You got to remember this.
Well, most people don't get paid what their job is worth.
Right.
And you're right. I mean, that extra money, like enough to live and have money to do things on your time off.
It's
that would
so,
definitely be more incentive,
and
I would
so
think.
Unfathomable to even think about a world where people make enough that I don't really know how they'd react. Because, I mean, that is kind of what employers think, is that, well, if I pay them too much, then they'll be lazy. But really, you'd think that if you pay them too much, they might actually be productive.
I would be more productive if I was paid more.
Exactly.
I think most people would, and that would, I mean, that would stimulate the economy because people would have money to spend.
There's a great amount said for the whole, you know, working your way up and being appreciated, and, you know, your pay and your appreciation actually affects how you work, who you are. You give someone a title, they run rampant. It's incredible. It's all psychological.
Pretty much.
Indeed.
But then isn't everything? I mean, they say that the concept of time itself is psychological. You have to wonder at times if it's even real. I mean, how can it be real if the week has flew by for you and gone slowly for me?
Well, that is...
You're not,
that's a different angle.
not everybody's perception is the same.
True. Well, and it's like that meme that I just saw, you know, close your eyes for 5 minutes at 7 a.m., open them back up at 9 a.m., close your eyes for 5 minutes at 2 p.m. at work, open them up, it's 5 minutes later.
Yep.
And that is odd, you know, when you're awake, time just goes so... It goes slowly, slow. No matter what. I mean, time does fly, but it goes a bit slower than, you know, if you're sleeping, it seems to really go quickly. It's a whole shutdown thing. It's very robotic.
Sometimes I do that purposely just to, you know, like if you're waiting for something, you go yes. with the waiting again. I always feel like I'm waiting for something.
I waited most of my young life, so I understand, but I am done waiting.
Yeah.
I can't stand
Unfortunately,
waiting.
I'm not. Yeah, I feel like all I ever do is wait.
I have organized my life in such a way that waiting is not an issue, and when it is, it really, really drives me quite bananas.
Which I'm sure is stressful and not good for your health.
Exactly. No, waiting is not good. I don't know, so. but time is kind of a, you know, time doesn't exist, time is something we made, but yet the sun does go up and go down, so there is some sort of something there.
It's a rhythm.
Exactly. It's more the rhythm, it's more the flow. We wouldn't probably be so apprehensive about it if we didn't label every minute and wait every minute.
That's true.
And whether you have a job or not, time still seems to be this it's being sucked up for everything, by everything. It's incredible. How does it do that?
I don't know. It's one of life's mysteries.
I demand an answer. And if you aren't recovering or mourning your entire weekend by, like, sitting there peacefully, you know, doing nothing, you sit there watching movies or TV or reading books. And, you know, that's not all bad. But it's spent relaxing. And that's kind of a waste of time, too.
Yeah, kind of.
And if you aren't, you know, relaxing, you're kind of catching up on your life. Because, you know, all week long you've neglected your life. Which bugs me as well. So, I mean, then you waste all your time cleaning dishes or laundry or personal projects. I don't dig it. I don't dig it at all.
No, time sucks. Yes. We just need more of it. But even if we added more of it, would it really make things better? Would we just spend that time working, too? Like, say they gave us an extra day of the week.
Right. Which is what everyone's saying, you know, if you had more time during the day or more time in the week. So, yes, follow that thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you had an extra day in the week, what would you do with it? Would you work or would you take that day off? Would you add it to the weekend?
I'd add it to the weekend because I do think that in our current model, there should be 4-day week with 3 days off.
I believe that as well. But a lot of people apparently would rather work.
Because, exactly. And I think these people, just a theory, are those who get to that. You know, they worked for so long, because pretty much, you know, throughout teenagehood, you are beaten down to believe that you must work, you know. So there's always some sort of absorbing force in your life, you know. You never really get that chance to do nothing, true nothing. And then when you're working, suddenly you get brainwashed into this individual who would rather work, and that work is your life, or work is important. Because once you're left alone, it's like being left alone in the silence. It drives them crazy. They don't know what to do with themselves because their reality, their reason for being is work. Which is why I think those people who can't handle 3-day weekends can't handle them.
I never even get a weekend.
Exactly.
I don't know what weekends are anymore.
Moms especially, they get no weekends. They're just...
Well, and we work 7 days a week. I mean, it never ends. The messes don't stop. I mean, just because it's 5 o'clock, yeah, then the kids come home from school and they want to eat. You know, they usually want a snack, and then you got to take care of them, make sure the homework is done, get them to wherever they need to go, because especially with my kids, they're always going somewhere. It's work, and it's really, you know, stressful and exhausting, like you said. And it's a thankless job. We don't get paid for it.
No, and it's never ending, and it's always there, and that would drive me really crazy, because it's one thing to, you know, have your life ruled by all these other things, but then to actually have your life be work, almost like owning your own business, is just like having children.
Well, it is. I mean, you have to mold them. You have to watch them grow. You have to make them flourish. You have to feed them emotionally, physically. You know, you can't. That's a never ending job. I mean, even after they're 18, they don't just automatically leave. You know, and even when they do, you still worry about them, and they still need things, and, you know, but there's just no downtime, it ever seems.
For 18 full years, or as many as you've got. It's just crazy.
Right, and lucky me, I spread mine out.
So. Exactly. What are you thinking? It's crazy.
I don't know what I wasn't thinking. There you go.
Which is why we'll talk about the more fun ways to waste time and why those are still waste of time when we get back after this short break on The Fabulous D Show. Hey, Vanilla.
What's up, D?
Do you have your turkey sandwich?
I do. In fact, did you know it's illegal?
How the fuck is a turkey sandwich illegal?
Wouldn't you like to know?
This is WildBunchRadio.com, uncut and uncensored.
I love a station that's uncut.
Oh.
Want more commentary and Easter eggs throughout the week? Fuck the Easter Bunny. Sign up for the Diva newsletter at theartistd.com.
Before Tad, I was just a robot. Visit WildBunchRadio.com to donate to help robots like me.
This is Becky Cannon, and listening to The Fabulous D Show. This is Campus Christmas, and as mad as a box of frogs. And don't forget to sign up on Transtastic.com, the most fabulous transcendent social network site in the world.
Turn it up. Hey, what's going on? This is Tony Z, and I'm not here to talk about myself and my music, which you can hear on YouTube, Facebook, and Reverb Nation. Nah, I'm here to tell everybody to listen to The Fabulous D and Vanilla Child live every Sunday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. What day? Sunday. What time? 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Where? On WildBunchRadio.com. Where? WildBunchRadio.com. Or you can go to TheArtistD.com and click The Fabulous D Show. What do they talk about? The real question is, what don't they talk about? Do they use bad language? You're fucking right they use bad language, so keep your kids the hell out. Will they offend you? Not as much as burning a Bible and pissing on it to put the flames out, so I think most people can handle it. Again, Sunday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. WildBunchRadio.com or go to TheArtistD.com and click The Fabulous D Show. And while you're at it, you can head over to www.ReverbNation.com/ToneEasy. TONEAZY. I'm out.
Before Tad, I was just a robot. Visit WildBunchRadio.com to donate to help robots like me.
And we're back on The Fabulous D Show, The Artist and the Vanilla Child. talking about time, wastes of. I'm sweating like a whore in church, let me tell you.
Is it hot out there?
It's very hot out here. It's like about 90 in here in the studio.
It's fucking cold and raining over here. I couldn't even get to see the supermoon last night.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Doubt I'll get to see it tonight either.
I think everyone was expecting it to be, you know, bigger as in gigantic. But it wasn't gigantic. That's what I saw a bunch of comments where, you know, when does it get to be super? It was not, you know, it's not going to be as big as your fucking head. It was brighter, though. Like, hugely brighter.
Yeah, they said it was supposed to be the brightest. But I think that all depends on perspective, too, and, like, where you live. Like, I saw some pretty cool pictures of it, you know, coming up on the horizon over, like, mountain ridges, and it really looked huge.
Yeah, that was the best part. Amazing. Was coming up. I really liked that.
It sucks I missed it.
Oh, well, I did take a picture, but of course, you know, it looked really small and tiny.
Zoom.
Some ways. So that's a good way to spend some of your time, actually.
Taking pictures.
And watching the moon. I stood there. I watched for a good 20 minutes. It was beautiful.
Oh, I do that all the time.
That's what you should be doing. That's the right way to utilize time. Unlike some of the, you know, there's work, and there's all the things that are like work, like children, and, I don't know, all the things we've mentioned, life, like laundry. And then there's all the other ways that people waste their time, such as television, watching it.
I'm guilty.
It's that background noise.
For me, most of the time, that is why the television is on. I don't normally pay attention to it. It grabs my attention more when it's something educational, if I'm learning from it.
If we, you know, I don't know. If I didn't have it on, I mean, it's on so much when we actually watch things. And I don't know if it's just overkill or not, but when I get the chance to be without, I'm complete silence.
Oh, I'm the same way. When I'm here by myself and there's nobody here, absolutely nobody, a lot of times it will be completely silent. Well, except for the neighbors, but
yes. Well, sometimes
I can't control them.
When I am left to my own devices, and you know, I think, you know, well, maybe later I'll turn something on or, you know, put something I love on that inspires me. The only reason you should have anything on, but. You know, I never get enough time to do it because, like, there's like 4, 5 hours, 6 hours can pass, and I'm like, you know, never did get to turn that on while I was alone. I'm just sitting here in complete silence, and for some reason, that's okay with me.
You're enjoying it. Silence is golden.
Silence is golden. And the sheeple love to just turn that on and keep it on, and that's the bad part. When you just watch it because it's always there.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some series have, you know, created, changed minds, harvested some great attitudes, inspired amazing things, but it's what people are watching, like, too much of. Like, the news, for one, every morning.
Mm.
The sheeple.
That's my mother.
It's amazing. I don't know why. I mean, it's as bad as the soap opera. I mean, it's nothing new. There's nothing new about the news.
And most of it's not even real.
Or it's so watered down.
That too.
And then there are all these unmoving shows like Three and a Half Men, Two and a Half Men, whatever. Half a Man.
Close enough.
Look at what people's afternoons are. They're just like, oh, the soap operas, exactly. The repeat storylines, the repeat lines on a daily basis, over and over. It takes 20 years for a short story to conclude.
Oh, I know. I just saw the one the other day that came on in the background, and I turned over and I looked, and I was like, holy shit. And I saw two people from something that, you know, Nanny used to watch back in the day, and right. They don't look a day older.
Exactly.
They still look exactly the same.
Which is creepy also
and
itself.
And you could swear, yeah, it's the same fucking story still going on, like, 20 years
later.
Well,
Susan Lucci looks the same as she did now as she did 30 years ago. It's creepy.
That is creepy. What is the secret to daytime television, that soap operas, that keeps these people so young?
It must be the monotony for them, actually.
I was thinking that, like, maybe it is the fact that, you know, it takes them that long to actually seem to age a year.
Maybe it has brainwashed them into feeling that really that is how slow time passes.
And there you go. There's a good argument for the perception thing. If they're perceiving that time is moving that slowly, then they're not aging with it.
If Erica Kane was 26 for the last 30 years, then perhaps she still is.
Maybe that's the secret to youth.
Well, it used to be, it's true when I lied about my age quite a bit back in the day. Is, you know, if I said I was younger, I had a year that I felt I was younger. And then if I said I was much older, I lived that year in that mentality. It's because, you know, you tell people you're a certain age and then they portray you as a certain slot in culture.
I haven't told anyone my age for a very long time.
I don't even know it. I've forgotten it. It's been so long. Yes, exactly.
But forget about it. I'm ageless.
Absolutely. We're all ageless. And that's why we're going to be doing this forever.
That's right.
But that the soap opera is perfect for that time argument, because who wants to, you know, if I could tune into Days of Our Lives and Stefano is still doing the same thing he was when I was born, it's incredible. That is like,
it really
you've
is.
And these people who have spent 50 years watching this every day, what are you doing?
You know what? We felt like that after we had watched all 60 some or 100. Well, I don't know how many there were. There was a lot of episodes of Lost, 6 seasons worth. And it took us about a month. And after at first we were really into it, but after it was done, we were just like so thankful that we didn't waste 6 years of our lives following that story.
And that's exactly why I love to watch things on DVD after they're done. Not only cannot wait for the end, but I cannot stand the commercials. I can't wait a whole week until it comes back on. No.
Yeah,
me
too.
I want to know what happens completely in its entirety over the course of a weekend.
Yep. I'm the same way. Netflix has definitely spoiled me.
Absolutely.
I don't even miss cable. Really don't.
No. No, it's unmissable. It's ridiculous. No one should have it. There are better things to do. And that's exactly what you need to be eliminating the bullshit, aka the news. You need to eliminate the commercials. You just need to eliminate all this. I mean, look at all the precious time, which is what now, when it bothered me before when I had it. It bothers me more now that I don't have it. And when I see when I'm at someone's house or we're watching something on someone else's television, and it's like that 20 minutes of show, 30 minutes of commercial kind of way. And you're like, wait, I could have saved 30 minutes. I could have saved 20 minutes. It really bothers me.
But what would you have done with that 20 minutes?
I would have done something else that meant something to me. Like that is how stuffed my day is. That it's like, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna plan for the show. Then I'm gonna email people, and then I'm gonna hurry up and eat dinner in this half hour, and then I want to walk, you know, and then I want to watch something, and it has to be in, you know, this short of time, and then I'm gonna take 20 minutes to read, and then I'm gonna like. You know, I'm very anal about this stuff.
Sounds like you just like to be on a schedule.
Well, I like to
be like structure.
But none of that is ever, I'm going to take 20 minutes to do nothing that is valid to my lifestyle. Like watch a commercial. It's not happening.
Well, I don't blame you.
I can't.
Do you ever take 20 minutes to just do nothing?
Well, and see, even my doing nothing is filled with something. Because if I'm doing nothing, then I'm checking Facebook, or I'm not to offend anyone, but I'm chatting, you know, about nothing to someone. Because, you know, the
thing. Yeah, but by nothing, I mean, like, absolutely nothing. Just sit down or lay in your bed and just, you know,
no.
Examine your thoughts for 20 minutes.
Honestly, that does not happen. That is sleep to me. I don't think there's no sitting. There's no meditation anymore. there's no silence as far as that meditative cross your legs, stare at a wall silence. That does not exist. I can't get that back because that's time that I could fill by doing this stuff. They're going to replay this at my funeral and say, look, he was anally crazy. And no wonder he died of that aneurysm. He was so hyped up. He always had to be doing something.
Oh, it'll be all right.
I don't just sit around. I try not to. I mean, there may be a moment. And that is, though, that's meditation. And that's what I was saying on Facebook the other day. Meditation, because someone was all on about, you know, we need to meditate more. And all of his friends chimed in with, yeah, sit. Sit in silence and stare. And, no. And that's why I had to make that comment of meditation can be whatever you want. Meditation is a mosh pit. Meditation is a radio show. It's a walk. It's whatever you need to plug yourself into this bullshit. You know, your life, your brain. That's your meditation. Not everyone has to sit on a freaking rock and stare at the sky. They certainly can if that works for them. This is not how we roll. This is not how I roll at all.
Yeah, the conventional meditation has never worked for me either. It makes me more stressed out.
It's okay.
Actually.
I could still see myself doing that only, you know, when I walk. That's kind of my meditation is any time during that time I may take a moment to actually breathe and sit silently for a second. But it's not how I choose to do that any further.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Although I do remember you taking many, many hikes back in the day, and they seemed to be very helpful.
Indeed, they were. And there were those rock lizard lobster. Rock lobster.
Yeah.
Rock lizard kind of moments where I sat there, really, literally sat there for hours and did nothing. And it did help. And it did bring things to mind. But I kind of, I don't know, it's like I turned the blender on high and I've not shut it off yet. In my brain. And Nick in chat says meditation is masturbation, which is certainly
for Nick,
a form.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. And then the other, you know, television things that I wanted to mention also were the talk shows, because people think that they're, you know, they watch their fantasy story and then they go to reality or a talk show, which is not reality either. Just like watching the news. It's like, my mother always used to say that. Let me catch up on the news, you know, a little bit of reality. No, none of it's reality. It's all
life is scripted.
Life is scripted. And, you know, those shows, I guess, could be slightly inspiring. I'm sure that someone out there is inspired to do something good from, like, watching Ellen, or their mind is changed, you know, of accepting the sexually different or something. But it's still not real. The show is not real. It could be inspiring and it could change you. I was inspired by the original Rosie show. I mean, part of me is always from that, but I can dig it. These shows, you know, but they're like tabloids. And interestingly, yeah, the same person who wouldn't pick up a tabloid would watch one of these shows.
That's funny.
And then they watch Judge Judy. And they laugh at people who are probably, you know, just as bad as themselves.
Judge Judy. You gotta love her, though. She's so cute.
Of course. I mean, she is. That is entertaining. I certainly would still watch it if that was on my show. My life. I just confused my life with show. My life is a show. It's everywhere.
This show.
I'm always on. Always. And then there's, you know, movies. And most movies that, you know, people watch are the ones that aren't. Instead, they watch, like, you know, Twilight. Instead of
Priscilla
Queen of
the Dead. I'll never understand that.
I don't know. And I don't know what people could purloin from that.
Me either.
At all. I mean, what inspires? Someone needs to write in. D@theartistd.com. Tell me, how has Twilight changed and inspired your life for the better? I want an
answer.
I've
never seen them.
I know. Well, I've never seen them either, and that's why I don't think that they're worth seeing. How can a Me sparkly either. Vampire and like porno werewolves do the trick at all?
No clue.
At all. Yes. I mean, if it's not, you know, life-affirming and moving like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, I can't get behind it. It's like romance novels. I mean, is it really worth reading a romance novel?
Not really. They're all the same.
Yes. Another waste of time? Sports.
Oh, I know.
That is, and that's even worse because it's not sitting on your ass doing nothing. It's actually moving your ass and doing nothing.
And possibly getting hurt doing it.
And possibly getting hurt doing it. Yes, exactly. It's quite the waste of time. I mean, who and watching sports is even... That's possibly even worse than watching television.
Mm. Yeah, that is definitely a waste. And time and money.
And they're saying in chat they love cooking shows. And
a lot of people seem to like cooking shows, and I've wondered what is the attraction with those.
I don't know. I liked watching them as well, but I'm quite the foodie.
I mean, but do you ever make those recipes?
I used to, back when I could do that sort of thing, yeah.
What kind of food shows are we talking, like Top Chef, or are we talking like In the Kitchen with Rachel Ray or
Right,
some
it looks
like that.
Rachel Ray is being mentioned in there, and that I can't stand. I cannot stand Rachel Ray with her, you know, oh, look at that, oh my god, yeah, wow. I'm just so happy, I'm just so happy.
She got a little pudgy.
Did she? I haven't seen her in years.
Yeah. She had Jessica Simpson on one day, and I just happened to catch it. And wow.
That
it looks
bad,
good on Rachel.
Well, that's good. Well, I mean, that's
fine.
No,
it looks good on Rachel, but Jessica, I felt kind of sorry for her.
Well, Jessica, and then Jessica's pregnant, so Jessica's quite, you know, busy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wildcat's asking what's wrong with Twilight movies. Well, I want to know the actual content.
What's right with them?
Why should one watch it? What will it change in someone's life?
Yeah, if someone could give us a valid reason
exactly.
to watch Twilight, we might be open and try it.
And see, I'm expecting something like, well, it's just a good movie. You know, it's just enjoyable. But that's like, you know, love stories. I'm not moved. I'm not inspired. It's, you know, a tear-jerking, oh, it's a terrible film, you know. And it doesn't, oh, I guess it's just me that I want to be, everything I want to watch has to relate to me and inspire me and make me be, you know, if I want, you know, it would have to make me want to be a vampire or something. I don't know. Nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. Everybody wants to be a vampire, though. That's the trend with the kids. It's the generation, I think.
They want to be
the
a sparkly vampire.
We're not in the Twilight generation.
No, we're in the twilight of our lives.
That's right, which is even better.
Oh, no, or better yet, no, we're in the Twilight Zone. Yes.
You know, if we were 10 years younger, we would still think Twilight was hot and blah, blah, blah.
Well, and that's the other thing. It looks just like porn for, you know...
Teenagers.
And while that's fine, but that is just like watching porn. You've wasted time. Sorry, Nick. And I do find masturbation as well to be a waste of my time. And I feel like I've wasted great amounts of time afterwards. Which, that's when people realize I'm absolutely out of my mind. When you turn down, like, sex or masturbation because you've got better things to do, you've got to ask yourself, what are those things?
Yeah, right. So tell us, what are those things?
Well, those things for me are this show, are my art, are my magazine, which we're going to talk about at the end of the show. It's these things. It's, and Wildcat just said, well, where the guys are concerned, I think Jacob is so hot. Well, yes, exactly.
Oh, my God.
That's exactly it.
They watch it because a boy on the screen is hot or a girl on the screen is hot.
Or it's a story and that they're enthralled in the story. But even that valid answer is not to me what I'm looking for. And that's why I do understand I have very high standards here. Extremely high. When I'm saying, you know, I need to be doing something with every minute of my day. I can understand doing nothing. I can understand wanting to do nothing or just watching TV or something. But, I mean, I grew up that way. I grew up watching things and doing nothing else. But those things inspired me. And I guess if I say inspired one more time, I might win, like, the $1 million prize or something. But I guess that is my point of bad time wasted, good time wasted. Have you been moved? Are you moving forward in your life at all by watching or doing whatever you're currently doing? And I think I am. With everything I read, everything I absorb, my body might be doing nothing. I may not be producing anything. I might not be helping anybody else. But my brain, my body, like as far as my cells, which will be dispersed into this world, are bettering, which is the point of life, as we've discussed before, bettering yourself. That's and I just true. Don't see how even like love stories in general, I mean, Twilight, leaving Twilight alone, just, you know, Sleepless in Seattle, godforsaken, everything. It's just weird.
It is weird.
It's weird. And that's why books are kind of, they walk the line, because there are books like Twilight, and then there are books like Stephen King novels, and I find Stephen King novels very educational and mind-altering and moving. But, you know.
Yeah, me too.
And it's okay.
Like my Gunslinger novels.
And it's like, it's good to escape to that, maybe because you're actually using your imagination and you are creating something.
Well, and that's kind of what it is. It takes me to another place.
Right.
You know, in another time. And it really opens up the imagination. Whereas, right. Like, the whole werewolf vampire thing has been so overdone.
Well, and exactly. That's like, if it were, per se, Interview with a Vampire, or even, you know, I'm not asking everyone to just sit around watching documentaries. I've been, you know, my character has been formed by freaking RuPaul and Tu Wong Fu and, you know, Madonna concerts in my youth and other strange movies and films and books, and, you know, they molded me. So I can get it that I just want to know. I want someone to validly tell me, yes, what I'm watching is actually inspiring me to be. Even if it inspires you to be a vampire, that's still inspirational.
That's true.
I don't know if board games are a waste of time. We've put down board games here. They could be. I mean, if you're like, you know, playing Jenga or Candyland, that's a good thing. Candyland is very stimulating, people.
Especially while drunk.
Of course. Solitaire, you know, not so much. Solitaire is kind of like, you know, one play kind of deal with me.
Yeah. It's no fun if you're not playing with someone else. That's the idea of games, I always thought. Yes. Board games especially.
Yeah, and I guess that is kind of, that's why I like, you know, ones that are like really one-on-one, having fun with people. And of course, you know, I have issues with having fun with people, so I've never learned really what people do out there in this social world. But when you're together with someone and you're playing games, there is that, this is a good waste of time. This is a spending time together. This is a laughing together thing. And, you know, we had a good time.
That's bonding.
It's kind of like why tennis is okay. You know, I can play tennis. I can't watch tennis because I'm not going to watch anyone do that. But playing it, it's almost, you know, strategic. It's not how I picture football or baseball. Although I'm sure football and baseball people would argue with me relentlessly.
No, and it's very, you know, it's good exercise.
Very good. I love tennis.
Which exercise is definitely not a waste of time.
Yes, and I do agree with Wildcat in chat. Tom Cruise made a shite vampire. Yeah, I didn't like him.
Poor Tom Cruise.
I don't really. I mean, Tom Cruise makes a shite most things.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Brad Pitt was okay, though.
No, I kind of like the British vampires in Being Human.
Of course.
Mitchell.
Mitchell?
Mitchell. Yeah, you have to look up Mitchell.
I will. But, you know, I do all these things. And I don't think I'm telling people to do things at all. You know, I don't want them. It's just like that guy who doesn't want everyone eating out of the dumpster because he knows everyone would be eating out of the dumpster and he would have no food left. You don't all need to have radio shows.
That's true. You
know. Although Rainbow Mix and Wild Bunch are looking for a few good hosts. But you don't all have to run out and change the world. You don't have to speak. You don't have to have a voice. You don't have to do all that. But I guess I just see a lot of people who go to work for 10 hours a day, and they come home, and they eat, and they go to sleep. And they literally may only have that 1,000 hours per year of time to themselves, in which they then don't use at all, because they're too busy recovering, or they're too busy not knowing what to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Or not having enough money to do anything that they want to do with it.
Absolutely. That's the other thing. And that's the other, totally other angle of why, you know, if you actually gave people the chance to do something, then, well, would they take it? Because could they take it? I mean, not everything's free. And sure, you can find plenty of free things, but yet there's a restriction. There's a huge restriction.
Right, like huge. Oprah when she gave away the cars.
Yeah.
That was very generous on her part, but she didn't actually give away the cars. They were donated, and most of the people couldn't afford them because they still had to pay the tax, right. Which was about $7,000. How many people have $7,000 just sitting around?
Which I grew up very realistically, because the people I was around, well, you know, Pennsylvania lottery... huge. Well, I mean, a lottery is huge everywhere, but especially in Pennsylvania, they love their lottery. And talk about waste of time. All these people watching a screen at 7:00 p.m. right before Wheel of Fortune, and right between Peter Jennings and Wheel of Fortune, all ran into the room, turned on the TV for the lottery drawing, which is what, three ball machines spitting up balls with numbers on them, and you had to guess the three numbers, and you won. But even though everyone was so excited about it, my family always said, like almost every time, was, you know, I put money on all this stuff, and I really hope I win, but I'm not going to be able to afford the tax anyway, so I'll never get my money. And I think one time somebody we knew did win pretty big. And that was the thing, is that you can't, at least back then, you couldn't use your earnings to pay off the taxes. Or sometimes you could, and your earnings would be the taxes. You know, you win $7,000, you got to, you know, pay half of that.
Right.
And it's just that was always very realistic to me. So I knew that, you know, even free money, free prizes, they don't come for free. And
nope.
Even if I did win, would I be able to afford it?
That's what I'm saying.
And what about these people that win $1 million? That's a big tax bill.
Right. But they don't, at least they don't see it at this point.
No.
they let them take the taxes out of the check before they get it, obviously. And
right. But that must be fun when you get, you know, you've won the million and you're like, here's a check for, like, oh, shit.
$750,000. Yeah. Like, which, thanks. You just took a quarter of my money.
Yes, which they should be perfectly fine with. But I'm sure somebody out there is like, what? Motherfucker, I won $1 million. Give me my million. I hear them in my head.
It's like that idiot from Survivor. What was his name? Richard Hatch, I believe.
Mm, yes.
He went to jail because he won $1 million in Survivor and didn't pay his taxes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I see all the millionaires also every other week in the news. You know, they're all people who get arrested and they didn't pay their taxes. And it's like, what are you doing? You're that. That's where the scale is the same across. Even though you might have it, you still don't want to give those taxes away.
I know.
Ever.
Who would ever want to give away their money?
No one ever, because everyone's always in debt. Whether you're a millionaire or you're not, you're still in debt.
A thousandaire,
a hundredaire, or a pennyaire, you're still in debt across the board. Same as I've been saying. Read my freaking article in the Catalyst magazine back in the day about that. I think it was the one with the piggy bank. You know, everyone's the same. We're all broke. We're all poor. The only difference is they can go out to dinner. We can't.
That's right.
But
sucks.
You need to find what you need to do. That's what you need to do. You need to sit in a dark room for 3 days and think about what you want to do with your life. And think about how you're spending it. I mean, because just think about it. I mean, you don't want to change the world. We can't change the world. It's not going to be changing, folks. This is about you. Your life, because you only have one, which is why people fall in love with that heaven idea. If they, you know, came to the conclusion that this is it. I just wonder how many people would really understand that. I mean, would really, like, wrap their brain around that at all. That this is it. This is my only life. This is the one time that my cells may have gathered to be something whole and solid and functional. I mean, there's no guarantee that we'll ever be functional again. And, you know, you've signed a contract, a cultural contract, and brainwashed yourselves to thinking, I'm giving 10,000 hours of my life and getting 1,000 hours of funsies.
Hello. Such a shame.
Yes, this is when we tap on the mic. Anybody home? You want to just play around for 1,000 hours? You want to give away 10,000? Which is really small. Is it just me, or, I mean, thinking about it, 10,000 hours doesn't seem like a lot of hours anyway.
No, it doesn't.
Much
not
like,
at all.
You know, 53 years does not seem like a long time either.
Well, that seems a little longer than 10,000 hours, but...
It does. It does.
And I don't know.
That's all the time
if
available.
If that's 10,000 hours per year and you times that by the 52, then yeah, that...
Right.
Wow.
Yes. That's, you know...
It's a lot of hours spent working.
A lot. A lot. A lot. The silence is so you can get it. A lot. And then, you know, they really work. 10-hour days, 6 days a week. Those guys, those people, those women, those everybodies who work. 10 hours a day. That's a lot of work. And then you just want to sleep. And you work 6 hours a week, 6 days a week. So Sunday comes or your day off comes. What are you doing? You're sleeping. You're sleeping or you're running errands or you're cleaning the house. You're doing all the things that are not, you know, given to you to do regularly, which is funny that we're not given time to live our lives ever. That's what we're trying to fit in here. That's what they're telling you to squeeze in is your life.
Mm-hmm. So they make work your life.
Exactly.
They don't give you a choice.
Yeah. And nobody's... Everybody's okay with that? You guys are okay with that? Mm.
Freedom is not free.
Mm. Oh, Lord. And we haven't even gotten to talk about sleep.
Mm.
Because, my God, I like to spend my time sleeping.
Mm, me too.
I love sleep. I think sleep is very important.
It's a great time killer. Like when you're waiting, just sleep it off. Before you know it, it'll be there.
It's a time killer, and it's also like a learning experience. I mean, I don't know about everybody else. Actually, I've heard very few agreement with me on this, but I find sleep to be very educational. Because I live in very different little worlds everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
I feel you there.
I travel. I learn things. I have had experiences that I had in my sleep that I would never have in my life. I've had adventures. I've had, you know, Indiana Jones moments. And they're real because they're in my sleep because I learned something from them. It's not a dream. It's just another experience.
That's true. From your subconscious.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I went... Well, actually, we broke the door the other day. I won't go into details of how we broke the door or what happened to the door. And...
Would this be the front door? Like,
no, it would be the like, sliding door. Like, okay. You know, a back kind of door. And... It was one of those that is like off the track, but I looked at it and I could not figure out how to get it back on the track. And I went to sleep, and in my sleep, I dreamt that I fixed the door. And this is not the first time that I've had this sort of dream, that something is broken, and I have had a dream of which I then take care of it in some sort of way. Or even in, like, you know, you want to face someone, you want to have a conversation with someone, and you just don't know what you're going to say, or how to put it, or how to handle it. And I go to sleep. I come up, you know, I dream of the actual event happening. I have, this is probably what people think is psychic, but it's not psychic. It's just dreaming. It's just thinking. And I fix the door in my sleep. I fix the conversation in my sleep. I think of what I'm going to do. And then I woke up the next morning. Of course, the door is still broken, but I went and I did exactly what I did in my dream, and it did it. It fixed it. It's what I needed to do. So you can't tell
me
that.
I've had that experience. You know,
dreams aren't important because I never... Because before bed, I stood there at the door. I played around with it a good 10 minutes. Couldn't figure it out. Like, I have no idea. So if I didn't go to sleep and drift off and actually have my sleep time to dream about that experience and see how to fix it, I probably would not have fixed it as quickly as just getting right back up and going at it.
That's awesome.
It is. And that's how important that is. And that's why when I was a kid and I traveled to these distant worlds and they really were my own destinations, and revisiting them throughout my life with the same people, and it was just like visiting anyone that I would visit now in the physical skin world. It's the same. It's the same. And that's important. But then yet again, how much time should one take for sleep? I could sleep forever because I'd be just having a great time. But right. Then I wouldn't get anything else done. So there does come that question of the in-between, what can, you know, how much time do we take? How much of our lives is really valid? Which does lead to a whole other conversation of how valid is what we really do, opposed to how valid is what we dream of, when you take them the same level of validity there. It's kind of creepy. I'm kind of waggling my eyebrows right now. Get the point across.
Just a little.
Yeah. It's just kind of creepy. We just don't want you wasting your time. That's all we've got to say about that. We just don't want that.
That's right.
We're these amazing creatures. We're all in this form. You should be planting your garden and shooting your guns and painting your pictures and mindlessly, just be mindlessly mindful of what you're doing in relation to how you really want your cells to be. Surely filing those papers and pouring that coffee is not the most enjoyable, rewarding to yourselves. Or watching King of the Hill. Please. Please don't watch King of the Hill. Just, and it's like, you know, they all say they can't find the time. Time and motivation go hand in hand with this lecture of, you know, you can't, they're always looking for the time. I can't find the time. I can't find the motivation. It doesn't exist to find.
That's right.
You have to make it. You'll never
you
find it.
You just have
time.
To do it. Yep.
There will never be enough. Ever.
Never. There's never enough time.
Never enough time. And we'll be back for the wrapping up of the show, because our time is up.
Already?
Already.
Wow. Time flew.
Time flew on the Fabulous D Show, and we'll be back right in time after these lovely messages.
Hello, world. I see you over there on Mixlr.com. Thank you for tuning in to the Fabulous D Show every Sunday night at 7 p.m. EST.
This episode of the Fabulous D Show is brought to you in part by the following.
The world-famous Jiggy Jaguar radio show is kicking ass and taking names. Each and every weekend, join us live at 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern on JiggyJaguar.com for the best of the best in adult film, art, music, and the best Mac talk in the biz. Our ratings speak for themselves. The Jiggy Jaguar Radio Show on JiggyJaguar.com.
Art, music, literature, and the truth. It's For Culture Magazine, calling all artists. Find out more at forculture.com. That's forculture.com.
Beat it! Look at him! Look at him! Perverts. I'll tell you one thing, when the Founding Fathers wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and what have you, liberty and justice for all, they didn't mean that.
Well, I can tell you one thing about them Founding Fathers of America.
What's that?
They sure had fabulous wigs.
It's like a fucking circus in here.
She's got balls. She's got beats. Taunting scammers and entertaining the masses, it's Zoe Balls with Zoe's Bits and Pieces every Saturday night at 5 p.m. EST. So grab your balls and tune in for some beats. Get ready because Zoe's got some enormous hits. Hits, I said hits. Tune in live at WildBunchRadio.com.
Gotham City on a pleasant morning. And in one of its most exclusive fur salons, elegant ladies shop with doting husbands.
Dancing, dancing, dancing. Nasty motherfucker. It's lonely being this fucking smart. Use a nasty motherfucker. Yeah, we'll have two martinis, please.
I don't know what they were doing.
I'm lighting a joint like I am right now.
We're not prejudiced, we hate everyone.
Oregon Children's Theater costume sale uses pedo bear in ads.
Put down the note, you can, and I smoke.
I don't know what they were doing.
He can do it, I can do it.
I don't know what they were doing.
Just give me a man. Come on.
I was like, how about you give me some money?
Oh my god!
And he put it in his mouth and he moved his face towards me. I was like, no man.
I think it's one of those strange manhood rituals.
No man.
I mean,
I get it. You were teasing us too.
Sometimes we're not all sugar and spice.
We are the Fabulous D Show on Wild Bunch Radio, simulcast weekly on Rainbow Mix Radio. Tune in at 7 p.m. EST, 12 a.m. GMT, live every Sunday at theartistd.com.
Then you're allowed to have a hard-on or something.
And now, back to the Fabulous D Show with the Artist D.
And we're back on the Fabulous D Show. I am the Artist D, and that is Vanilla Child, telling you how to spend your time. And what a good spending of time it was.
It was. It always is with you.
I know. So glad we had this time together. I'm trying to not sing Carol Burnett. I'm so glad we had this time together. Tonight's fabulous footnote is for Culture Magazine.
Can't wait.
I can't wait. You may have recalled a few years ago, back in the day. What are you doing?
Who, me?
Yes.
I'm listening to you.
Oh, I thought you were eating potato chips.
Oh, no, no, no.
Then I thought maybe crunching ice. And then,
no.
And then I figured you were
peeling.
No, it might
have been a piece of paper ripping.
Yes, you were finding something appealing.
Peeling paper.
Yes.
Is this what it sounded like?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, that's paper. Not eating.
Would be funny, though, if my co-host just sat here the entire time eating chips.
Oh, my God, how fat would I be? That would be bad.
So you may have recalled a few years ago, like 7 years ago, I had a little dream to start that independent magazine, and it was around the MySpace days. MySpace was killing us.
And I remember.
I just wanted to do something different, something for the artists, and something that was, you know, in printed form, and this was it for Culture Magazine. And no one, you know, I had no team. It was all me. And I just couldn't do it alone. So I let it go. 7 years later, I'm working at the Catalyst, you know, and things were coming to an end there. And then suddenly I get a team. And we decided to do For Culture Magazine. So once a month here, at least, you know, you'll be hearing about For Culture, if not more. But for our footnote tonight, I just wanted to introduce you to it. It will be a digital magazine. Every other month, we are releasing our first issue in July. And we are calling all artists, as you hear from the commercial. Calling all artists. I need to bullhorn that.
You know? That would be great.
So it is for anything. It's covering the four cultures. It is an art magazine, music, opinion. It's amazing. And I met my entire team this last week, like speaking to them and having a little party. And I just love everyone. They're all fabulous. And people are on board for this because they understand the importance of it. And we have writers, very amazing writers and editors and designers. And it's a real thing. It's an honest-to-God real thing. And it's going to be beautiful. And you can find out a bit more on fourculture.com. But you can also, you need to just add us everywhere. We're on Twitter at fourculture. We're at fourculture.tumblr.com and facebook.com/fourculture. It's fourculture. It's F-U-R culture. Because we're covering the four cultures. Get it? That's pretty witty, isn't it? Yes, isn't it?
That is.
So you just need to add us and stay tuned. But if you are an artist of any sort, of any medium at all, music, lit, art, literature, we love literature too, and opinion and columns and all that, you know, you need to contribute to us. submissions@fourculture.com. We even have a submissions person. She screens things. This is just lovely. I can't wait for it. And our debut, our cutoff line is the end of May, so the end of this month. Happy May, by the way. And then we will publish in July, and you'll get to see it. And it's free, and it's online, but it's really high quality. So tune in for more, always. On that note, though, we're out of time, aren't we, always?
Yeah.
Thank you, Vanilla Child.
Thank you, Dee. And thank you, everybody, who came to chat and came to listen.
We appreciate it. Thanks to all for tuning in. As well as a special thanks to Brett Gleason for our theme song, Always, Always, and Forever. BrettGleason.com for that. We will be back next week with more information from the underground. Next week, we've got Wildcat and Dee to join us. A different Dee.
Yay. Yes.
Wildcat's in chat right now, so she will be joining us on the show next week to discuss both of their amazing life adventures and, if I may say so, a good use of time. Very good.
Definitely.
Use. So utilize your time wisely and tune in next week as well. Remember, you can find everything about the Fabulous D Show and myself, the Artist D, at theartistd.com. Downloadable, iPodable, everythingable, until forbid. Have you got your guns, graffiti, and gender? Of course you do. Hold them tight, my friends. There's not much time left to express yourself to death. Good night.